All right, if you have your Bibles, John chapter 3, we've been looking these days at what we call meeting Jesus and finding life. Meeting Jesus and finding life. And last week we looked at some people who met Jesus, and as a result of meeting Jesus, they invited their family and their friends. They met Jesus and they found life. That's really what we're trying to come to understand these days as we look at these various experiences that are recorded in John's gospel that have to do with people who met Jesus. So now, if you'll stand with me and honor the reading of God's word, let's read together. If you'll take your copy of God's word, John chapter 3. And we'll begin reading in chapter 2. I'm sorry I don't have it on the screen, but you can pick up with us on the screen in chapter 3, verse 1. But I'd like to go back and read beginning in verse 23 of chapter 2. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, that's Jesus, during the feast, many believed in his name, observing his signs which he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, was not entrusting himself to them. For he knew all men. And because he did not need anyone to testify concerning man, for he himself knew what was in man. Now, we pick up verse 1 of chapter 3. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless," that's a very important word for us today, "unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you," again, "unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." And Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words of Jesus this morning, these ancient words that are as real and current for us today as they were when Jesus first spoke them to this religious man, Nicodemus. So, Lord, we pray that we would not be religious people. We pray that we might experience being born again. Lord, we pray for our family, that our family members might experience the new birth and be born again. We pray for our friends and those that we work with and those in our neighborhoods, and we pray for our world that people will come to know Jesus and be born again. So, Lord, help us to again remember what it is that you say to Nicodemus today, so that we might always honor you and worship you for the new birth that you have given to many of us. And how we pray, even this next week, Vacation Bible School and other places, we might have the opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus so that they might be born again. May my words honor Jesus today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. So this morning I want us to look just at a couple of observations. When Jesus speaks these words, he's speaking to Nicodemus, a religious man. So first of all, let me point out to us that you must be born again to have new life. We're talking about meeting Jesus and having life. Well, last week in John chapter 1, Jesus said in John chapter 1, verse 43, "Follow me." That's what he said. So when you meet Jesus, what does Jesus say to us? He says, I'm saying to us all today, we've been talking about this all morning, spoke to the people at the 8 o'clock service, speaking to those that came at 9, speaking to us who are here at 10:30, all these words are the same. Jesus calls anyone who meets him to follow him. Jesus says, follow me. This morning I must ask you, are you following Jesus? Not are you following religious leaders or religious ideas, are you following Jesus? Jesus says, follow me, John chapter 1, verse 43. And notice in John chapter 1, we read last week in verse 6, there came a man sent from God. He came as a witness. Now this week in John chapter 3, we read, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do, please notice this word, unless God is with him. We see these signs you're doing, and we believe that, we know that you can't do these signs unless, there's a requirement, unless God is with you. So let's think about Nicodemus for a moment. Notice what your Bible says in verse number 1. He was a Pharisee. The Pharisees were a very serious group of Jewish people who were serious about God's Word. Very, very serious. They memorized large sections of the Bible. In fact, it is said that most Pharisees over their lifetime would memorize Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They would memorize those five books of the law. The Pharisees were separatists. They chose to live in a way to separate themselves from sinful ways, sinful people. Jesus had other things to say to the Pharisees later on about their religion, which had no heart, which had no life. But this man comes, this Pharisee comes. He's a leader of the Pharisees. He's a ruler. He's one of their, if not primary teachers, he is one of their key teachers, because Jesus later in John 3 calls him the teacher of Israel. These Pharisees were those who were faithful to go to the temple. They were faithful in their tithes. They were faithful in praying seven times a day. They were faithful in ceremonial washings. They were faithful religious people seeking to do, hear me now, under the law, they were doing everything they could do in order to gain God's favor. Religion. You know, we live in a religious world, a Christian religion world, surrounded by words and phrases. Most of us here in this room have been around or have lots of relatives, the Pharisees. Why, Nicodemus probably had, like Paul, who was a Pharisee, a long heritage of people who were spiritually serious about spiritual things and wanted to know God. But they were religious people. They were religious people. And so Jesus, as he comes and he says, we see that you do these miracles and you can't do them unless God is with you. And Jesus immediately says, truly, truly, all right, amen, amen. This is what Jesus says. Amen, amen. This is truth. This is important. Anytime you read in your Bible in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Jesus says, truly, truly, he's describing for us a standard of truth. This is God's truth. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, Jesus standing himself up as speaking for God, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless, here's the requirement, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So religion and the new birth, religion and the new birth, working my way to God, Jesus helps Nicodemus to see that seeing and participating in the kingdom of God and being with God and knowing God and knowing what he's doing and entering into a relationship with him is not based on religious activity. It's so easy in the place we live here to think that it's tied up in religious ceremonies and activities. The fact of the matter is, I'm saying this to all of you, my friends, you must be born again. You must be born again. Your religion, the religion of your fathers, the religion of your forefathers, though it has Christian roots in it, though there are Christian words, all the rest, Bible reading and giving and attending and all the things we seek to do in morals, all of them being good, you must be born again. So Jesus wants this religious man who was a good man, a moral man, a leader among his people, a man of a distinguished career. He says to him, you have to be born twice. You have to come to life again. You have to be born again. Well, this is shocking to Nicodemus, verse 4. He asked two questions. How can a man be born when he's old? How can that be possible? We know Nicodemus understood Jesus was saying, you got to be born again. You got to be born again. You got to come, you got to have a new birth, just like your first birth. Well, he says, can a man enter into his mother's womb a second time and be born? Can he do that? He's raising the question of the impossibility. How can this be? How can this impossible thing take place, being born again? But we find when you meet Jesus, his words are clear. No matter who we are, no matter what our background, no matter what we've sought to do in our life, how we've sought to live, you must be born again. You must experience a second birth. Now, when you think about a birth, you think about life. I mean, boys and girls are going to be all around this place. We love this week. All the workers will have to go home in the afternoon and take a nap. I mean, it'll be long days. It'll be going on. Hundreds of boys and girls, but there's life with these young people and babies. When a baby is born into a family, it's a celebration of life. God gives life to that family. A new life is born into that family. So when Jesus talks about the new birth, when he talks about being born again, birth is tied to life. Birth is tied to life. So with that in mind, the second observation goes with it. And it's this: being born again is an act of God. Now I've done this, I've surveyed everybody all morning, so let me do this. I want to make sure I can see you. So let me make sure. And this is a silly question. I just want to ask it to make sure. Does anybody in here remember exactly everything that happened when you were born? Would you raise your hand if you remember that? Not one person. But here you are. You're born. Turn and tell your neighbor, wow, you're born. You're alive. Go ahead. Wow, you're born. You're alive. Something happened and you didn't do a thing about it. You weren't hatched. You didn't just fall out of the sky. You were born into this world and you had people who took care of you. Oh, I know some of us fuss about it. You know, you can pick your friends, but hey, your family's what it is, right? Family's family. But you were born into a family with a heritage, with a background, but you didn't do anything. You were just born. You were born. Well, what Jesus wants this religious man to know is a man who's been really trying hard to gain God's favor by religion. He says to him again, notice, second time, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So when Jesus said these words about water and spirit, Nicodemus knew his Bible. You see, there are these prophecies that come. There is this picture. This is the new birth. It is washing and renewing. It's washing and bringing us to life. We talked many, many months ago when we were talking about resetting our life, how God takes us and brings us alive, our spirit to life when we're born again. That's what happens. When we're born again, we're brought back to life spiritually. Well, I want you to listen to Ezekiel chapter 36. These words would have been very familiar in the mind when Jesus talked about water and spirit. These words have to do with the new birth, cleansing us, cleaning us up, bringing us back to life, taking us out of a sinful old way of life, born into sin. This is what Ezekiel said would happen in the days in which we live now, by the way. These days of the new covenant. Listen to this. For I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the lands. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. And I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Listen, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. It is the new birth, is the cleansing, the sprinkling, the changing of us. It is the transformation to a new life, moving from a sinful way of life, born into sin, being born again, cleansed, and the Holy Spirit of God now connecting with our spirit. A whole new way of life. This is so important. In fact, this is so important that Paul describes it maybe a little bit differently, but he's describing the same thing Jesus is talking about being born again, being an act of God. He says, Titus 3:5, He saved us, we were born again, not on the basis of deeds which we have done. It's religion. Not on the basis of what we've done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, listen, by the washing of regeneration. That's what happens when you're born again. The act of God is the washing of regeneration and the renewing by the Holy Spirit. So when I am born again, I come to this experience because God births me into a new life. I am birthed to a new life. The third thing I want you to see is that it is a spiritual experience. Being born again is spiritual birth. So all these things we would talk about, immediately Jesus says, that which is born of flesh is flesh. Look, when you were born, you have the DNA of your family, you have the genetics of your family. It doesn't take long for a child, when a child's born into this world, for the parents to say, oh, well, this child acts more like this side of the family, has these characteristics from this side of the family. Now, those are interesting things. Flesh is, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Flesh to flesh. There is this commonality. We're born into the world with characteristics and qualities, flesh to flesh. We're also born into this world dead in sin and dead to spiritual things. And Jesus said, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So this Bible only comes to mean something, and for me to understand these spiritual words, when I am born again. When I have experienced a new birth from God. When I've been birthed again. I have a spiritual understanding I did not have before. Jesus said, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. You see, there's no way for me to get to God. There's no way for me to gain a spiritual understanding. I must understand that God does it. Paul said, Romans chapter 7, verse 6, now we serve in newness of the Spirit. Every day is new. When you come to be born of God, when you're born again, you experience a newness, and the newness is every day. You can be renewed in your mind. You're renewed today. You were renewed yesterday. It's a renewal that takes place. This is the description of being born again. It's a spiritual experience of renewal. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:12, this one's really important for us to hear. We who are born again have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is of God. We've received the Spirit. So that we may know the things freely given to us by God. So when I'm born again, it's a spiritual birth that I experience. The Spirit comes to bring life to me. And now I understand spiritual words to spiritual words. I recognize the work of the Spirit. This is why Jesus wanted Nicodemus to understand. We know that you are a teacher from God. No one can do these miracles. He saw the miracles. Unless they're from God. And Jesus draws the line. Unless, he says it twice, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is flesh is flesh. The flesh will never understand the things of God. They are spiritually understood. And so Paul would have the outrageous idea to say in the book of Corinthians, we have the mind of Christ. We compare spiritual with spiritual. What in the world? How can such things be? Only when you are born again. Finally, he says something very interesting in verse number 8. Well, by the way, verse 7, again, Jesus says, third time, do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. This is an amazing idea, and all of us in this room, many of us have heard people talk about being born again. You've heard preachers preach on it, just like I'm doing this morning. You've heard teachers teach on it. You've read about it. You've thought about it. Let's walk our way back to the first time that you heard it. Let's walk our way back to the first time Nicodemus heard it. Nicodemus, this religious ruler seeking so hard to find and have a relationship with God, Jesus says, unless you are born again, you cannot see, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. You must be born again. You must be born again. This is the emphasis of Jesus' words. When we meet Jesus, what do we hear him say? He says it to us all. Whatever our family background, whatever our religious history, you must be born again. Now look at this mystery a little bit more. Verse 8, the wind blows where it wishes. Now this same word in the Greek language for the wind, it is the word can also be translated the Spirit. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. Listen, so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. It's mysterious. It's mysterious. So the day that you came to know Jesus, the day when I was a 9-year-old boy, how can it be that a 9-year-old boy can pray to receive Christ, believe on Jesus, and be born again? You can't see the spiritual operation going on inside when you're born again, when it takes place, when you're regenerated, the Bible says. You can't see it. We can go to a birth. All of us who are parents here, we've participated in that. We all know what it's like to be there for the birth. But we don't see the internal operations. We see the result. The same is true spiritually. When you're born again, it's a spiritual mystery. Like the wind blowing, you can hear it, you can feel it, but you can't control it. It's not controllable. Being born again, coming to God. So as a 9-year-old boy, I prayed to receive Christ. The evidence was in the way that I lived after that experience. Something changed, even in my life. My parents beginning to see a difference in my life. That same process going on from then on to grow spiritually in my life. Same is true when you came to know Jesus, when you were born again. Many, many of you in this room, you were born again, and then all of a sudden a change came in your life. It's mysterious. What is it that brought about that? What caused it? Oh, we learned. Unless you're born of water and the Spirit, unless the Holy Spirit does His work of bringing you to life, regenerating you, cleansing you and washing you from your sin and the deadness of your sin and bringing you to life, you can't see the kingdom. You can't enter the kingdom. It's a mysterious thing. What's so wonderful about John is he tells us about Nicodemus in three places. Here we find Nicodemus coming at night. In the middle of John's gospel, we hear Nicodemus talking with the leadership about Jesus and a righteous man and some of the things he said. But I'd like to have you see, as we close today, Nicodemus at the cross of Jesus. In John chapter 19, we read these words: "After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but a secret one for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate granted permission. So he came and took away his body." Verse 39. Nicodemus, who had first come to him by night, also came. It's a mystery. What's happened to Nicodemus? He met Jesus and he heard these words: unless one is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom. Nicodemus also came. No matter what the Sanhedrin may think, his own fellow religious Hebrews, Jews, regardless of what the others might, regardless of what Pilate and the Romans would say, here we find Nicodemus. Jesus is dead. He dies on a cross. He is dead. And here we find Nicodemus dragging a 100-pound bag mixture of myrrh and aloes to anoint the body of Jesus. Something happened to Nicodemus. Something mysterious. Why did he change? What happened to this man who was so religious? He met Jesus and he found life. Being born again is how you come to life, church. It's the way we do it. It's what we tell people. We leave this place and we go tell others about Jesus. So we learn from Jesus. Here's the way we do it. If someone wants to know about Jesus, we must say to our friends, and they're going to be puzzled when you say it, unless they've heard these words before, "You must be born again." Are you born again? Have you ever been born again? Have you ever experienced a spiritual birth? Have you been born twice? That's the question. Born a second time so that you've come alive spiritually, so that you can sing praise to God. You know why it's hard for some people to worship? Because you worship by spirit, in the spirit. And when you're not alive spiritually, you can't worship. It comes from within. We're going to learn this week by week as Jesus speaks with people about what it means to live in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit. So this morning he meets a religious man who gives him a compliment, and Jesus says, unless one is born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. So this morning, here's the question: have you been born again? Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus' words. We've heard the words "born again," most of us, all of our lives. We can hear about being born again. We can think about being born again. But Lord, if we've never been born again, then these things are a mystery to us. They're strange to us. I pray, Lord, for those who may be here this morning, young and old alike. Some of us who've been religious most of our life, but we've never known Jesus. We've never experienced a new birth. Lord, I pray for those who are here this morning. I pray for those who've been here all morning long. We've heard the words of Jesus again. These red letter words: you must be born again. Do not be amazed that I say you must be born again. So Lord, this morning, here we are as we finish this morning together. The Bible says that if you will confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You'll be born again. He'll change you from the inside out. Have you ever done that? Have you ever believed in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confessed him as Lord? Jesus is Lord. This is where it starts. Jesus said to Nicodemus later in this chapter, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. So that's where it starts. Confessing Jesus as Lord, believing on him, and following him. Perhaps you're here this morning and you've prayed to receive Christ. You've recently prayed to receive Christ, but you've never come forward to follow the Lord in baptism and to take the next steps in being a disciple and following Jesus. Maybe you're here and your family needs to join this church. Every week we ask the same question. Do you need to come and make a public decision? We're not apologetic about it. We're not trying to embarrass you. But at some point you need to step forward and say, I'm going to follow Jesus. So anybody in the house, in just a moment, if there's something you need to do, if you need to join this church, you need to come and confess your faith in Jesus, we want you to do it. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts now. May the Holy Spirit honor Jesus in these words. And in the calmness and sweetness of this time, may we hear from you, young and old alike. You must be born again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand, please? We're going to sing together. Have thine own way. And as we sing, let the Lord have his way. If you need to come, I'm right here at the front. We'll meet you here. Come on, if you need to come. Tim's over here. Come on.
Have anybody thine here? Own way.
Would you bow your heads just for a moment, please? Just be patient for just a second as we finish up today. So here we are. No one's come. We didn't. Maybe that wasn't what you needed to do. But we all have spiritual decisions to make in this room today. So what have you heard from Jesus today, from his word? What have you heard? And then what will you do? Some of us need to go tell our friends about Jesus in a desperate way. We need to tell them about Jesus before they perish. May the Lord burden our hearts to do it. Some of us need, who are born again, to say, Lord, forgive me. I am far away from where I ought to be. I'm far away from where I ought to be. I need to come back to God. I need to confess my sin. While we have our heads bowed, Steve's going to sing one more verse. As he sings this verse, we're going to invite you to come. If you need to come, or just to say to the Lord right where you are, yes, Lord, I'll do that. I'll obey you. I'll do what you say for me to do.
Have thine own way,
Lord. Anybody here?
Have thine own way, wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine.
With your heads bowed while we deal with one who's come, Lori's just going to play for a moment, quietly. Pray for those around you. Pray for your friends who are not born again. Family. Not born again. Well, thank you very much. While you're standing, we have one special person we want to introduce to you. And while we're finishing that up, don't forget tonight, Vacation Bible School launch is on. You want to be here for that. It'll be a great time together. Tim, introduce this young lady who's
sure,
come.
Come up here, Kaja. This is Kaja Davidson. She has come this morning, and she wants to know more about salvation and more about, she asked and said, how can I be baptized, and wants to be baptized, and we're going to take some time, and we're going to talk to her more about that, but she has a desire to follow Jesus, and we're going to talk to her about that. So she started to make her first steps in that direction, and we are so proud of her and excited for her to come this morning.
Amen. If you join me in saying amen, would you give her a hand, and we'll be praying
amen.
For her. All right. So good. So good. All right, come by and say a word to these dear ones before you go on your way. Let's sing together. We'll see you tonight. God bless you.
Praise God from